everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Gamers Without Borders podcast, where we talk about gaming, technology, anything we can think of, with a special international twist. And you know the best part? There's no passport needed. And I'd like to welcome my co-host.
Oh, I'm a co-host now, huh?
It's an equal position, yes.
Hi.
Yeah, that was a lovely start there, Brad. Thank
you. Yeah, so I'm Brad, and then I don't know if Nick introduced himself, but I'm the American half.
I'm Nick. I'm the British attractive suave.
suave.
Yes.
All right, then I guess that makes me the rebellious half, if we're gonna go that way.
Well, you did secede from British control.
Yes, that was me. I orchestrated the whole thing.
Yep.
All right.
See, there you go. Gaming podcast where we have historical anecdotes.
Truth.
Nowhere else does that.
It's pure truth.
Yes. Right. Anyway, we should start off with a big bit of news, is that at the time of recording, just yesterday, we released episode 1.
Finally.
Finally we did. Funny thing is, we've actually had that episode finished for ages, quite a while, but a little insight into podcast making. There's quite a lot of obstacles that you don't realize.
Dude, I didn't even... Oh, man. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about is clearly podcasting is not as easy as I thought it was, because we had come up with our name, Gamers Without Borders, and we thought we were all good to go with everything, and then all of a sudden you send me this message. You're like, oh, no, we're in trouble, Brad.
Yeah. The funny thing is, first of all, I didn't find them. One of my family members found them, and everyone I've spoke to has been like, if I was coming up with something, the very first thing I would do was Google the name to check no one else has stolen it.
You know,
and I was like, yeah, why didn't we do that first?
I don't know. I Googled the other ones. Okay, so here's the backstory on that. We have the Gamers Without Borders as our name. Well, there's also a Gamers Without Borders gaming group that came before us, and they have a .co.uk website, and you can find their link on our Podbean website.
Yeah, you'll find that in the episode notes for... we'll do that on every single episode, because they've been very nice to us and sort of allowed us to work sort of indirectly with them, which is very nice, and we thank them for that.
Yeah, they're a cool group of guys and girls, I suppose. I only have really talked to like a couple of them, but their whole premise is that gaming is shared across the world equally. Like, there's no nationality involved with gaming. It's just all about having fun and playing games together. You can find their Steam group. Just ask for an invite if you guys want to join. They're actually really cool and always down to talk, and really are excited about, you know, our podcast thing. So that was cool.
Yeah, I think it's nice that we've all sort of been open to it, because it's been a tough few weeks trying to sort everything out. We're not trying to deter people from starting up podcasts. If you want to do it, do it. Just be prepared that, like a lot of things in life, it can get a bit tough.
Yes, I suggest emailing us or another podcast group you've already emailed and asking for help, because that has been monumental in our success.
Mm.
Being able to talk to the one-track gamers for...
Oh, definitely. And we might hear from them a bit later on.
Yep. All right, so what else? What else we got for podcast news besides the deprecated WordPress?
Yeah, fine. I'll mention this now. Anyone who's listened to last week's episode, right at the end, I was like, go find us on our WordPress site. But for slightly complicated and not very interesting reasons, we've abandoned that WordPress site and we've moved over to Podbean, which is a sort of a more dedicated podcasting website. So our new website is now actually gamerswithoutborders.podbean.com. But there'll be a link to that on our Twitter page, and every time we release a new episode, the Twitter page will send out an automated tweet as well, so that's fine. So provided you follow us on Twitter at GWBpod, then you'll be able to keep up with everything we do.
Yeah, it's exciting, man.
It is.
We have a podcast.
And I think most exciting is we actually have a logo.
Right? That was...
I know.
I feel like that was a struggle, but I'm real proud.
That was a big moment, because our Twitter sort of sat there looking quite bare, and... I don't know, it's nice.
I think it's a real thing. Like, it's an actual thing that we're doing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add, or should we get into this episode good and proper?
No, let's move right along.
Okay. We will be starting with what have we been playing? I don't know if you want to go first, Brad, because I feel like I've spoken quite a bit, and you've got a lot more to say than I have.
Oh, I've got loads. Oh man, what have we been playing? What have I been up to? This week has been crazy. As I mentioned in the last podcast, I'm in the military, but I'm on my way out. Like, I've got 10 months or so on the way out, so if anyone needs to hire, you know, a vet, you know, hit me up. Anyways, I've been learning how to be a civilian, which is actually... there's a lot more to learn than I thought. So, like, writing a resume, how to find jobs, how to interview, stuff like that. Because I joined when I was, you know, 19, 18, so I had, haven't really had a job. So I've been learning all that stuff. I feel like an adult. I bought a suit. Like, I feel so fancy. Everyone should own a good suit. It makes you feel awesome. So I've been doing that. I've been doing a lot of self-study on game development with the Coursera specialization and a lot of, like, project management stuff. I made a website. I'm making business cards, like all kinds of stuff. Oh, here's one thing I want to talk about. Besides the games I've been playing, I've been doing this thing where I record my thoughts daily. I've yet to do it today. I'm calling them my R logs, my reflection logs. It's kind of...
Ooh. Slightly cheesy name, but it's fun.
Hey, it looks cool on paper. Anyways, It's kind of weird at first, but it helps. Has helped me get better at, like, just speaking to something, you know?
Yeah.
If you hear a cat, then just disregard. She just walked in here and you started yelling at me. Anyways, for anyone that wants to, like, is looking to, I don't know, focus on self-meditation or self-review as a type of relaxation or something, I highly recommend recording yourself via voice and listening to it at once a day, just like a recap of thoughts and experiences for the day. But
I also think it's as well as doing that, like, talk, as stupid as it sounds, talk to other people. Like, yes. I won't get into it here because it's not really relevant, but I was having a bit of a rough day a few days back and I just chatted to Brad and that made things a lot better.
Truth. So anyone out there, you're free to message us, Twitter us.
Yeah, genuinely, day or night. And given that we're in two different time zones, that probably will happen. It will be day or night.
Yeah, we're more than happy to talk with you.
Oh, yeah, it could be the most random thing. If you don't want to say it publicly, you could message us privately and be like, I'm struggling with something, and we'll talk to you.
Or you can tell us how much you love the podcast and how much you want to be on the show and hear more from us.
Yeah, we're, as a small podcast, like, if anyone even has, like, the smallest desire to come be a guest, just please ask us, because we'll probably always say yes.
Truth. All right, other than that, I've been playing, Stardew Valley. Super great game. Everyone should try it if you have the opportunity. But this morning and last night, Factorio just stole my life. Like, I sat down this morning to play Factorio, and I was like, I'll play for, like, an hour, maybe, and, you know, go along with it. 4 hours later, I'm like, oh my god. Where has my morning gone?
Well, to be fair, I think in the history of gaming, whenever you start out by saying, I'm just going to play for a certain amount of time, you never play for that amount of time.
Never. And so I was like, all right, one more turn. But Factorio, like, I don't, it's a complex game, but the premise, I don't even know how to describe it. You're supposed to, like, it's all about optimizing production flow and everything. And there's such a satisfying feeling from getting your resources mined to processed to construction to a usable item in a, like, efficient manner. I don't know why it's so satisfying.
I think it's maybe just sort of the base sort of feeling of achievement, and, like, games give you a compressed sort of sense of achievement. True. So if you tried to do that in real life, it would take you weeks, whereas in a game you could do it in 5 minutes. So I think that's kind of why games work, because they give you, like, almost like a rush and a high of sorts very quickly.
Totally. And yeah. So anyways, Factorio was awesome. Give that a try. I also was like, oh, I'm thinking about buying Rainbow Six Siege. I don't know. And then all of a sudden I was like, you know what? I bought it. That game was fun.
That was quite interesting, because I think it links back to something you were talking about in the last episode of how that very much seems like a game that you need a group of friends to play with. You can't just play it with randoms. Or you can try and play it with randoms, but you're going to struggle.
Apologize if this sounds a little weird, because my power just went out. And so we have to... We're going to struggle through some technical difficulties here.
Okay.
Yep. Anywho, Rainbow Six Siege. Yeah, so I only play that with a friend who's online, and then... More often than not, if we are playing a game and we have a teammate that's doing well, obviously we're using voice chat. We'll invite that person to voice chat, and then we'll just do that until we have a full team of five. So it's not like random people. We just like gather more and more people until we have a full team.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I actually just thought about it. Like, you wouldn't normally do that in like a face-to-face environment. Just like walk down the street and like grab people. Like, hey, join me in this endeavor.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
you'd want to find out a bit about them, see if they're suitable right. And stuff.
That's the beauty of video games.
Yeah.
And the internet. So, anyways, I'm playing that game. Is cool. I don't really have too much to say about it. It's frustrating.
That's fair.
I rage so hard when I play that game.
Oh God. Remind me never to play games with you.
Well, just the competitive ones.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'm sure if we played like Minecraft, hopefully we wouldn't shout at each other.
No. I don't yell at other people. I yell at myself. Like, I went upstairs to say goodnight to the wife, and because I was playing this at like midnight and 1 a.m. naturally. So she's in bed. And she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Playing video games." She's like, "You having fun?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Doesn't sound like it."
Oh, dude.
And I was like, "Well." That's just, it is fun. That's just how I express my enjoyment and profanity and vulgar language.
That's fine.
I'm just kidding. Don't use profanity. It's inappropriate.
Well, it's depends on the situation.
True.
It's all right in private. Don't do it too much in public. Mm-hmm. It does annoy some people.
Yeah.
This is a public service announcement.
All right, so that's all I got. Not a whole lot of gaming... Yep. Stuff we can. I'm sure I'll talk about more later. What do you got going on, Nick?
Unfortunately, I'm temporarily away from all of my games consoles.
Oh, that's so sad.
For one reason or another, so I haven't had too much to play. But thankfully, because it's been a while between recordings, I did a few weeks ago have a chance to play a small amount of Pokken Tournament on the Wii U, the Pokemon fighting game that's come out recently. I quite enjoyed it, because I have literally no experience with fighting games whatsoever, because they always seem to have like such a steep learning curve. And yeah, it looked really vibrant, it was really easy to get into, like I was just mashing buttons, but it was still a fun experience.
And now, you say it's, I don't know much about Pokken Tournament, it is like a fighting game like Tekken, but with a Pokemon skin.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite so complex. Like, I hear people, when they talk about Tekken and Street Fighter, like, counting frames and things like that.
Well,
which I don't think you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't think, like... I think there is depth to Pokken Tournament, but not quite that much depth. Although I think it is coming to Evo, or one of the main big professional events, though.
Is it designed to be a competitive game? Do you know?
Well, I think so, especially, like... Especially since, like, I think it's all online multiplayer. Like, there's a way to do local multiplayer, but it's really hidden in the game.
Ah, that's silly.
So,
whatever happened to LAN parties, man?
Because not that many people use LAN anymore.
I know what you mean.
I know what you mean, though. Yeah, like PlayStation 2 era and stuff. Like,
dude, I was all about hooking up. Like, whoever's birthday it was, it would just be a Halo party in their basement or something like that. Like, that was the thing. Everyone bring their Xbox and their TV, yeah. And everybody get crazy on Mountain Dew and stay up till 4 a.m. playing Halo.
Yeah. Oh, for me, it was a local multiplayer James Bond Nightfire on the
PS2.
Oh, my God. I will defend that game with till my last breath. I've got into arguments on Twitter about how much I love that game.
The passion.
I
feel it
so much. Even though if you go back, it's quite a bad looking game. Like, oh,
that's funny.
It's so funny. Like, I was too young to have been in the era for GoldenEye on the N64.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever people say, "Oh, what's your favorite Bond game?" I was like, "Nightfire in a second," and people are like, oh,
and they're
"Are
like,
you mad?
What? Are you insane?"
Yeah. I have played. I did play the GoldenEye Wii remake that they did.
Yeah, I remember playing.
I enjoyed it. It was all right. It felt a bit. Well, I don't know. You know, it felt a bit generic. Like, it felt like.
Like if we were to go back and pick up GoldenEye right now, like it's just it's not a good game, but.
Yeah, it hasn't aged.
No, not even a little bit. But it's still one of those where you think about it and you're like, oh man, that was so much fun, like playing those James Bond games.
Yeah. I think really that's just nostalgia. You're willing to look past the fact that like the controls are a bit ropey and it looks a bit weird because that's like a lot of people's childhoods.
True. Right on.
Yeah. The only minor thing is I know we did this last week, but I have been on a bit of a podcasting binge again.
Oh.
Because there's a great video games podcast that I've always been aware of, and I've followed them on Twitter for years and never got around to actually listening to them. But that is the, and I will preface this by saying, award-winning BitSocket podcast.
Oh.
You can find them on Twitter at BitSocket. They're two Scottish guys, so their accents do take a bit of getting used to. But they just, it's one of the funniest podcasts I've heard in a great while. They're really passionate about video games. Some of the features they have make me really jealous, because I think, why the hell didn't we think of that?
Well.
But yeah, you just give them a listen if games are your thing. I'll put a link to them in the show notes when I eventually release this. So yeah, I just want to make them a little bit more known, especially because to someone like Brad and our American audience, they're going to have no idea who they are.
Not even a little bit.
Even though they won a Games Media Award.
A what?
A Games Media Award.
Is that a national thing?
Yes.
Oh.
And even then, it's not that well known because the games journalism industry is quite small.
True. It's past the era of there's like a couple magazines now. I remember when there was like Nintendo Power and like.
Genuinely, I've never been more bitterly disappointed when, I think, last year or the year before, official Nintendo magazine shut down.
Right.
More importantly, because the official Nintendo magazine podcast was one of the greatest podcasts in the world, and it has now disappeared off the internet.
That's terrible. I've never been like a Nintendo fanboy, but I know a lot of people are, and they usually have such great content.
Like, a lot of the podcasts I listen to now, I first got into them because the people on them were former members of that podcast.
Ah.
But yeah, no. It got pulled off of iTunes, so unless you downloaded every single episode, there's absolutely no way to have access to it.
I'm sure there's, like, repositories of it somewhere.
Possibly.
Once it's on the internet, it's there forever. Somebody's gotta have it.
The NSA.
Yes, they have everything. Anyways.
Right, okay, let's go into news. This is going to be mainly gaming news with some other stuff. Should we start with the happy news or the slightly more sad, controversial news?
I just want to talk about the happy news, about the SpaceX, just because I just watched the video, and I dare say, like, the environment, like, okay, so the YouTube video is awesome, and what's the word I'm looking for? Just like the ambiance, like the feeling, the attitude of like the whole thing that was going on. Like everyone's all excited, and then you see the rocket come down and do its burn and land on the barge, and everyone's like cheering, like woo, you know. And at the time, I was like, oh, this will be cool to watch. But then, like all of it mixed together, like I dare say, I just was uncontrollably grinning, and you know, I shed a tear for humanity.
Yeah. Do you want to just quickly outline in a bit more detail what's actually happened?
Okay, so SpaceX is doing this thing where they're trying to get reusable rockets, and if you don't know, that's a huge step forward for space exploration and getting humans into space, like just more humans into space, really. So launching a rocket into space is stupidly expensive, like billions of dollars to send food and resources and people and everything else into space, right? And most of that cost comes from the building of the rocket. Like, fuel is kind of, it's expensive, and to a normal person, it's really expensive. But to a company like NASA or SpaceX or something like that, the more important part is building of the rocket, because you have the materials and the labor, and you have to check everything, and it takes a really long time, and all this stuff. So if you can reuse the rocket, you can save something like 90%.
Yeah, which is billions and billions of dollars. It's crazy.
Space exploration, right?
Yes, SpaceX.
Okay, so now we can, if we can keep reusing these rockets, well, SpaceX can keep reusing these rockets, then that means getting anything into space, really, is cut down by something like 90% of the cost.
Yeah.
Which is just insane. Like, think of, okay, so someone had the analogy this way. Think about it, if you were to take an international flight, and every time you were going to get on this flight to cry across the world, they had to build the plane, and when you got to your destination, they destroyed it and had to rebuild it to take you back. Right? So that's kind of the whole thing behind reusable rockets, is they don't have to rebuild the aircraft anymore, and the spacecraft anymore.
Yeah. Although not to sound too cynical, but as someone who's currently trying to plan an international trip, plane fares are still expensive enough anyway.
Well, I mean, instead of, I don't know, I'm guessing it costs something around like $2,000 for a ticket or something, but I'm sorry, 2,500 pounds?
A bit less, but yeah. oh, no, not quite. About half that.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. But anyways...
It's more than I was expecting.
Yeah. So it could have cost you, like, I want to say something like 40,000 pounds in perspective, you know?
Yeah.
Something
yeah,
ridiculous,
yeah.
So...
I don't even know how much a 747 costs to build.
Yeah, so that's super exciting. I want to go to space. Yeah. I can't wait for... So there's three things I can't wait to see in my lifetime. Commercializing space, like people living in space. Artificial intelligence, right? In computers that can like learn.
God.
And my own robot butler. Cannot wait for those.
Two of those three things are probably going to kill you.
Space and the AI?
No, the AI and the butler.
Why? No.
Because one day the butler will grow tired of butling.
It won't grow tired.
Sleep.
Does your computer ever grow tired of doing computer things?
We don't know. It can't think
exactly.
For itself. As soon as we let it think for itself. Yeah, that's when it'll kill us.
I don't know if we talked to...
Have you not seen Terminator? Come on.
Come on. Actually, I named my Wi-Fi Skynet, just in case anybody, just like a little, little nod to that.
Nice.
Yes. Mm. Anyways, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
And I have lost the show notes. Let me pull them up real quick.
I have the notes. We can either do some happy game-related news or some slightly more sad and controversial gaming news that may mean that a lot of people start shouting at us.
Let's talk about the... Let's deal with the criticism later. I want to hear what the other... Yeah.
Good news. Okay, so Brad won't know this, but in the last couple of days, I think it's either yesterday or the day before, it was the Games BAFTA Awards, the British Academy of Film and Television. They had a wide number of categories. I'll run you quickly through all the winners, and then we can sort of go back and discuss them. So, Best Game was won by Fallout 4.
Oh, you're going to go through,
British
you wanna go
game
through all these?
Yeah, okay, it won't take long. British Game was won by Batman Arkham Knight. Debut Game was won by Her Story. The Story Award was won by Life is Strange.
Ooh.
The Performer Award was won by Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Artistic Achievement was won by Ori and the Blind Forest. Audio Achievement was won by Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Family Game was won by Rocket League. Game Design was won by Bloodborne. Game Innovation was won by Her Story. Mobile and Handheld Game was also won by Her Story. Multiplayer Game was won by
Rocket League.
Music was won by Everyone's Gone to the Rapture. Original Property was won by Until Dawn. Persistent Game was won by Prison Architect. Sport Game won by Rocket
yes.
League. Ones to Watch was won by Sundown. Esports Audience Award was won by Smite. And the BAFTA Fellowship went to John Carmack, who worked on games like Doom and Wolfenstein 3D.
Nice.
So, a few points. I'm very happy to see that Life is Strange picked up an award.
How old is Life is Strange? It's episodic, right?
The last episode of the season came out late last year. and then and then it released on physical disc at the beginning of this year.
Okay, so I can buy all of the episodes and play through them in one sitting.
Yes, a couple of things. I did it in. If I think you could complete it over a weekend.
That's my goal for next weekend.
Oh wow! Oh yeah, you're actually going to do it. So
we can talk about it. I told you I would.
I know. It's nice to know you didn't forget.
Right.
Because I've got a really good topic for a future episode planned, and I really want
to. Just keep that nugget in the back of your mind. There, I need you to explain something to me. What is the British game category? Batman Arkham Knight won the British game category. What does that even mean?
What was the question?
Batman Arkham Knight won British game. What?
This caused a bit of a question. It's purely because, the reason Batman won it is because Rocksteady is actually based in the UK. And it's because the BAFTAs are a British award that they have that category.
I was what does that mean? I didn't know Batman was British, you know?
Yeah, just after it came out, I got sent a tweet like, how the hell did Batman win this? And I was like, yeah, no, it's because of the company that makes it.
Okay, that makes sense. I was like, wait. I mean, that's kind of a neat idea, is having a British Batman.
Yeah.
All proper and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, we've already got Alfred, it's fine.
Alright, cool. That is that's pretty cool. I like the fact that Rocket League won best sport game because it's not soccer and it's not racing.
Yeah.
But it's kind of Rocket League is such a great game. If you haven't played it, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Like the atmosphere of the game and the gameplay, it's one of those games that's super simple to learn but crazy difficult to master, and like the things people do in that game.
Yeah. Mm. It was funny. You've touched on it. Someone joked on Twitter when they won Sport Game of like a game about car football managed to beat dedicated football games and dedicated racing games to this award.
Right.
I was very nearly gonna buy it, but then I didn't really think it was like, because it's not like a sort of a long game. I didn't think it was gonna be full price. I was thinking it was gonna be like about half the price for a normal game. Then I went on the PlayStation Store and it was like £30, and I was like, "Is it worth
it? It must have gone up in price." I got it when it was a free download on PlayStation.
Because I was expecting it to be like maybe like £15. That's like $20, $25.
No, it is,
which I would have happily paid.
It has gone up in popularity so much because it is such
Damn
a
it.
Great game. But I'm sure it'll come. There will be a sale sometime, and you'll be able to grab it.
I'm sure they will. I think PSN is getting better at doing sales.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about Ori and the Blind Forest, and I have yet to play it.
Same. I've heard it's one of the prettiest games.
Yes.
It's also very hard though, apparently.
Really? Difficult?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things of like you've got to do some pretty well timed jumps and stuff. Like it's a proper sort of platforming.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably, this isn't the whole like anger mongering news, but I'm gonna probably anger some people here. I don't think Fallout 4 should have won best game.
Yeah, it caught me out because I think I've not played it. I know nothing about the series, but I think the sort of what I was hearing was it's a good game, but it didn't quite live up to what everyone's expecting.
It's on par with the last couple Bethesda games. Like, it didn't innovate. It didn't expand the genre at all. It didn't, like, when I played it, let's see, I don't even have that many hours in it because I played the game a little bit and then just kind of got tired. I have 37 hours. And that was in the first, like, month I had it, which is standard for a new game that came out that I play. I'll spend the month and on average 30 hours on a new, you know, AAA game. But then I was done with it. Like, it got super repetitive. It didn't really... Like, from Fallout 3 to Fallout 4, I didn't feel like there's a whole lot of difference. Like, you can build up your settlements and stuff, but that just becomes, like, a chore, and, like, the UI for building isn't that great, and it's just...
Yeah, that was a big complaint I heard, that, like, that had looked really good in the trailers, and then, it was a bit broken.
Yeah, execution was super difficult for building a base, and then, like, defending it was, like, setting up turrets and all this stuff. Like, all this effort you have to put into defending isn't even really worth it to me, because it doesn't get attacked most of the time. And whenever it does, you can just, like, show up and kill the bad guys, no problem. And,
yeah,
I don't know, it was kind of a letdown. Like, I had fun for a little bit, and I explored Fallout 4, the Wasteland, and all that stuff, or, you know, wherever it was at. And then I was like, right, well, what else? Like, I, you know, I moved on to other things relatively quickly. So that's my beef with it, is they dumbed down the dialogue. Yeah. They didn't really innovate too much. Like, the storyline isn't that great. I don't know. Like, I want Bethesda to do something new. Like, you remember when Oblivion came out?
A bit before my time, but vaguely.
Dude, that game was fantastic because of its, like, the way it was delivered in its time. On Xbox 360, having an open world to explore in, and, like, all this stuff, and you could level up your skills, like, pretty much however you wanted, and it was so great. So great.
Yeah, I think even though it kind of came at the end of the console's life, I think GTA 5 did a similar thing as well. I think a lot of people went, wow, I'm actually surprised the PS3 can do this.
Right, yeah. GTA 5, like, I still see, like, GIFs and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw the best meme or thing for, like, GIF or GIF the other day. Like, however you pronounce it.
Okay.
And it was that scene in... Ah, shoot. Let me find it for you real quick. Because it's hilarious. It's with Samuel L. Jackson and...
Yeah.
They're in the black suits.
Well, if...
You know what I'm talking about?
Is it Pulp Fiction?
Then? Yes. It's that scene in Pulp Fiction where Samuel L. Jackson is interrogating a guy in the seat, and he's like, say GIF again, mother effa.
Oh, God.
Is GIF? Yeah. What does GIF stand for? And he's like, graphics interchange? And he's like, is it graphics or graphics? Do I look like I put peanut butter in my graphics? And, like, it is so great.
Oh, God. The one comment I wanted to make about the BAFTAs is I haven't played it, but I'm very happy to hear that Her Story picked up a lot of awards, because I've heard really good things about that.
Me too. I haven't played it either, but as a commentary on like a commentary style indie game, like it's more like talking about.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe it. I had too much coffee, I guess.
Well, yeah, I think we should explain what the game is. The premise sounds really strange, but basically, you are in control of a search engine that is apparently from a police station, and you're researching a murder case. And basically, you put keywords into this search engine, and you get showed particular video clips, and it's all about just through these video clips. You have to try and piece together what the case is. And it's like, these are all properly acted with real people. And, like, when the game came out, a lot of people were like, I've got massive notebooks filled with notes just trying to keep up with what's going on. And, like, it's an interesting idea, and I think it's good that games are sort of spreading out a bit.
I agree. I want a wide breadth of types of video games to explore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to play the AAAs, Siege and all that stuff, and then come back and play a social commentary game, and then go and play a puzzle game, and then go and play a simulation. And, like, it doesn't, like, I like the variety, and I like that indie games nowadays give developers the chance to, like, try new approaches to things, you know?
Yeah. I think perhaps we should move on to the more controversial news that may or may not spell the end
yes,
of this
and
podcast.
I feel like you're a little apprehensive about talking about this.
It's something I've wanted to talk about. I'm just surprised that it's come up this early. But we had a discussion about this, and you're right. We shouldn't shy away from this. We should face this head on. And to be fair, we're also probably not well known enough that I doubt there'll be any fallout from this.
Hey, whoever, if okay, let's anyway, we'll get into it. Yeah, you know what's all about.
Yeah, do you want me to take this because I know a bit more about it?
No, tell me about it.
So in the last sort of week or so, it emerged that an employee at Nintendo called Alison Rapp was fired from her job. Now this might seem pretty normal. The official reason that was given for her being fired was that she was apparently taking a second job while working at Nintendo, and Nintendo said, this is against our policy, we can't allow that, so they let her go. However, her response was that, in fact, the working second jobs while at Nintendo was actually a well-known practice within the company, and quite interesting enough, she had recently been a victim of harassment from the truly, truly, truly terrible corner of the internet known as the Gamergate movement, and I really wish they could go just crawl into a hole and die. But basically, they were harassing her because recently, I believe it was Xenoblade Chronicles or Xenoblade Chronicles X got a release over in Europe and America, and however, certain aspects of the game were changed because obviously Japanese and Western culture is different. So the Gamergate movement latched on and said, "Ah, this is censorship, this is terrible for the industry." So they started harassing her, I believe they threatened her and her family. And so the thing is, it's raised a question of, did Nintendo fire her because of the harassment she was receiving and because that reflected back on the company? And it's all sort of blown up and it's left Nintendo in a slightly awkward position. And it's also sadly brought Gamergate back into the news, which is a shame.
So the question is whether or not Nintendo is trying to, like, get rid of possibility of bad press kind of thing. Like, they're trying to get her out of the company because she's drawing too much negative attention.
Yeah.
Or if it's actually for...
And I think a lot of what people are angry about is that I think people would have been less angry if Nintendo had just come out and said, that's the reason why we let her go, rather than they seemingly made up a reason that clearly wasn't true.
You know, they're kind of in a sticky spot, which I want to start a business someday, and I don't want to be that company that tries to let an employee go because they're bringing, like, whatever they're doing is causing negative attention from I don't even want to talk about Gamergate. They get me so fired up. They're a bunch of...
I know. It aggravates me so much. Yeah, the worst thing is, because, like, people like me and you don't see it, but like I follow a lot of people on Twitter that are games journalists that I really respect and I really love their work, and it's just so terrible when you see them tweet like, yeah, I'm being harassed again, and it's like, why who does this? Why? There's no point.
It's cowardice. Like, I saw someone talking about it the other day. It's people that are afraid of change and are latching on to what they like. They're afraid of losing whatever control they have over gaming or whatever influence they have, I guess. I don't know. It's ridiculous. Change is growth. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, change is progress.
I don't want to sound like an old man here, but I also think part of the problem is now it's so easy nowadays to get your opinions, no matter what they may be, out there for everyone to see. Like, 99% of the time, that's a great thing. But for the 1% of people that have opinions like that, like, it's one of the worst things that, like, you could just go find someone on Twitter and you could say horrendous things to them and they can't really stop you.
Well, there's a difference between sharing your opinion and harassing someone. Like, it's great. You're able to do what you want and say what you want on the internet as long as it's respectful, like, in a respectful manner. So these people that are under the banner Gamergate that are, like, threatening to murder people and threatening to rape people and harassment and stuff like that. Like, that is just...
Yeah.
Those kind of people, I want all of you to understand that what you're doing is just bringing down the culture of gaming, and everyone's going to see, like, no matter... Like, it could be someone that's never played games in their life and they'll hear about Gamergate and be like, oh, gamers are such bad people.
That's all gamers. And it's like, no, that is like 0.001% of the gaming community that is like this.
It's those people. Anyways, Nintendo, like, I would like to think that Nintendo's a company that would support an employee through a difficult time. Now, maybe they actually did fire her for breaking some rule.
Yeah.
But They...
But yeah, did they perhaps use that as an excuse to get around?
Yeah.
Like, had they perhaps been wanting to get rid of her, but they just needed a proper reason to do it? And it's... Well, I think it's difficult, because you're right. Like, you hope the company, any company, would be supportive if you were caught in that situation.
But I guess...
But like... then equally, you've got to think a bit cynically and feel, well, companies are designed to make money, and you're going to lose money if you get lots of negative press.
Companies are designed to make money, but look at, like, SpaceX. That's a company that is ultimately designed to make money, but look how much Elon has spent on electric vehicles and SpaceX and things like that. And
yeah, like I read somewhere recently that for every, they're actually losing money on every Tesla Model S that is being sold.
Exactly. Now, that's because Elon is a bit of a philanthropist and wants to get, like, he wants to further humanity's technology and stuff like that, which is what I would like to think a lot of gaming companies are about, even though we know they're not. But it, like, a simple thing of, like, let's say you owned a business, Nick, right? And you have 500 employees, and one of them is getting harassed from an outside source. Now, if you support this player, those outside harassments might dig into your company and start harassing you and other employees and things like that. What would you do? Because you have the possibility of losing customers, which means losing revenue, or... You, like, what are your other options?
Well, it's difficult. Like, in situations like that, my view is always the slightly, possibly cold and logical view of the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Like, is it better to protect 499 people at the cost of one person than risk all 500 people? That's how I view it. I know that's not necessarily the nicest way to view it, but that's just how I view it.
I don't know what I would do. I mean, I would like to say that I'd be able to support an employee that is getting harassed from the outside, but I don't know what Nintendo can do as far as support. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I think especially with a movement like Gamergate, there's no real
Gamergate's not even a movement. Like, they're just a bunch of hooligans.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, if, I know this is going to sound weird, but if they had, like, an office block, then you could just go down there and you could protest outside it. But because it's a random group of people spread all about the globe, you can't stop them.
Gamergate is, like, that group of, like, unpopular kids at school that think they're all tough and pick on all the other kids, and they just want attention.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they want. Yeah. Sorry, that's probably a little childish for me to say, but they just...
No. I think you're right.
All right, so we'll see what happens. We'll keep our eye out for news on.
We will. We will try. We'll try and do our best to sort of keep up to date with the things we discuss.
See how Nintendo handles this whole thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this actually quite nicely transitions into one of our bigger sort of topics for this episode, is about how the gaming community sort of perceives itself and sort of the influence of things it has. So I came up with this, and my sort of driving force behind this was, do you know the background behind the launch of Metroid Prime Federation Force, Brad?
I don't. What I saw of it was when they announced Metroid Prime Federation Force, people were expecting something completely different and were a little disappointed in what they got. That's what I know.
Yeah. Basically what happened is, exactly that happened. People were hoping for, like, another proper 3D Metroid game, like Metroid Prime 4, for example. And, like, that's not what they got. They got a new game on the 3DS. Now, the rational sort of response to that was, oh, that's a bit of a shame, but at least Nintendo is sort of continuing to, like, use one of its most popular IPs and keeping the brand going. But no, someone decided that they would get a petition going, and a lot of people signed it, asking for Nintendo to scrap the game completely, just because it was not what they wanted. It's insane.
So, I don't think a lot of people understand what that means, because think about the company, like, it's not just Nintendo, this big, huge conglomerate that is handling every individual thing. Like, Nintendo has teams and groups and smaller people that they hire to build these games, right? So when you get a petition to cancel a game, you've effectively cut off funding for upwards of 200 people.
Yeah.
Like, those 200 people don't have a job anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it might not be the game you wanted, but Nintendo, like, somebody decided...
Just accept that and move on.
Yeah, show your support in another way. Say, I don't know, call whoever you can and be like, hey, this is what the... Like, get another petition to write a different game or something, not cancel the one that's been done.
Yeah.
Like, how...
Yeah, or just write them, like, a nice email and says, we love the Metroid series and we really would love in future if you gave us a big 3D Metroid on the NX or something.
If there was a format, like a forum, a way for gamers to organize and put together a cohesive wants, needs, and must-haves and wants list, and then be like, this is what we want at a Metroid game, get 60,000 people to sign it, and then send that to Nintendo, then I guarantee Nintendo would be like, huh, I guess this is something that a lot of people want. We should take a look at this.
Yeah. I think the sad fact with something like that is that if you tried to build that, you'd end up just having groups of assholes like Gamergate taking it over and ruining it.
Yeah, you probably would. But let's get on. So the bigger topic is the gaming community's perception of their influence and
itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a gamer, gamers. Like I love the gaming community because, like I said, and when I was playing Rainbow Six Siege, like, you can invite anybody into your party chat, and then because you're on the same team, working towards a common purpose, like, you're playing the same game, you're interested in the same thing, you automatically have all this stuff in common, you're going to be friendly to each other most of the time. Like, 5 times out of 7, you know? You're going to be friendly to each other, and, like, everybody's always... Well, most of the time, always friendly and, like, helpful and supportive. And there's so many great forums out there. And there's, like, those few bad apples, like, every community has. But, like, the gaming community is so unique that it's incredible what we can do. And you can see that influence in, what's the latest game that has been listening to its player base a lot? I know Bungie is getting a lot better at it. Halo... I'm sorry, 343 is getting a lot better because they have all these forums and stuff, and the players are saying in droves they want Infection or they want Firefight and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then 343...
I would say Valve has always been quite good at it.
Yeah,
well.
And so they look at all these...
Like...
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I'm not personally a fan of it because I think it sort of ruined the game, but if you look at all the community items in Team Fortress 2, that's like Valve could have just gone, no, this is our game, it's our copyright, we're not going to let you make anything. But no, instead they said, look, here's the tools, why not make items for the game, and we'll actually put them in the game. And I think that's the right way to do it.
I think so too. Now it's kind of a double-edged sword, this whole early access thing, but early access is a way to get your players involved in building the game with the developer. And I'm in a couple of early access things, and it's actually awesome to be able to say, hey, developer, I have been playing the game and I saw this bug, or I think this should be fixed. And then a bunch of people are like, oh yeah, I saw that too. And the developer says, oh, well, we should take a look at that. And it's crazy when you see huge companies like 343. Well, I wouldn't say huge, but they're really big. They have a huge game. And they're like, oh, well, people really want an Infection playlist and they really want Griffball. Well, let's make it for them. And then, you know, like, say, hey, we're going to do this. And then they say, this is when it'll be done, and then they delivered at this time, and it's all because the community was like, they got together and said, this is what we want.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool that gamers have that, and that companies are listening to that, but like, you shouldn't, like, companies also need to take into consideration, like, the whole canceling of Metroid Prime Federation Force, like, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know, did it actually get canceled?
No, it's still good. Being made, and I think recently they announced another Paper Mario game, and that had a petition launched either to cancel it or to change it or something. So yeah, it's that wasn't an isolated incident; it still happens.
It's kind of crazy. Like, I don't want to say this like in a mean way, but a lot of gamers feel like they're entitled, and it sounds bad.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But no, I think I know what you mean.
Like a lot of gamers are like, "Huh, this game is cool and I enjoy playing it, but I want it to be a little bit more like this because this is the way I like it." And yeah, you should voice that. Like, yeah. "Hey, this is what I think would improve the game." But at the same time, I think gamers need to understand that A, it takes a crazy amount of time and money to implement some things, and you have to understand the technology requirements, and you have to understand, like, maybe that's not what everybody wants. And then don't throw a fit when you don't get what you want in the game, because,
like,
gaming companies aren't making the game for you, they're making it for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So.
I think that leads into sort of the next sort of subcategory I had on this topic of, there seems to be a lot more interest in the past few years about the finances of the game industry. I've noticed this particularly with Nintendo. So many times, like, Nintendo will release their profit margins for, like, the last quarter, which, like, to most people, and it should be, most people should ignore. It's not interesting. Most people can't properly understand it. But nowadays, you just have a wave of people going, "Oh, that's proof that the Wii U is dead," and stuff like that. It's like, no, like, you don't, like... And I'm like, you have people going out that, like... And it's like, well, no, because a lot of Nintendo's profits are impacted by currency and exchange rates and things. And, it's people just latch onto it, and it's like, unless you have a finance degree, shut up. This shouldn't matter to you.
I feel like you feel really strongly about this.
Yeah, just like, no, it's just like, play games and have fun. I don't buy, let's say, Assassin's Creed Syndicate and think, "Oh, I do hope that Ubisoft made back all its advertising budget through the number of copies of this game they sold." No, I just think, "Oh, I just got to jump off of Big Ben and stab someone. That was fun."
That's funny.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man, I feel like you have a lot of strong feelings about this. Here's my take.
Oh,
I have a little bit of a broader picture, because wanting to be a developer and designer, I also am looking at the business side of things, and I want to understand it. So yep. I think that big companies being transparent with their profits is a good thing. Like, I think because people have a right to know, especially if you're investing in a company, you should know what's happening in with the funding. So if it is a public company, now if it's a private company, that's up to them. Now, I'm slightly interested. Like, let's say, what was a controversial game that, like, kind of, like, was Watch Dogs profitable? And why? Like, I want to know that information so that I can use that as a tool for myself and, like, other companies and stuff like
that. So you don't make the mistakes that Ubisoft made. And, I get
that. Now, that's me. Now...
But I think my bigger problem is, a bit like you say, it's the sense of entitlement that the gaming community has in some areas, where they just feel like, "Oh yeah, I can jump in and say this," when it's pretty clear you don't have all the facts and you don't understand how to run a company.
Like, if you're gonna say something as it's a fact, at least be able to back it up with information.
Yeah,
I agree. I believe in having a reason for everything you say and do. And I think that's my personal mantra, if you will. Is, if you're going to say something, have a reason behind it. If you're going to do something, have a reason behind it. So if you're going to look at finances for a company like Nintendo and be like, it's not looking good, I think it's because Nintendo started spending all of its money on brand new hot tubs for its offices. Like, how... You can't just say that.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Nintendo, I know we've sort of done news, but have you heard about Miitomo?
They finally launched
their first mobile app.
I have not had a Nintendo console since the GameCube, but I've been kind of interested in Nintendo games, but I have no idea what Miitomo is at all. I just know it was supposed to be a huge thing.
It's a mobile app they've just launched, and it's essentially like a social networking app, and it uses your Miis. So
a Mii is your avatar for Nintendo.
Yeah, your avatar. Yeah. So I think you can you can either make one or you could import one if you had an existing console, so it wouldn't matter if you didn't own a Nintendo console. And yeah, a couple of interesting things that stuck out to me is that because obviously I follow a lot of games people on Twitter, and they were it's got this weird feature whereby you can put your me into any picture ever. So like,
dude.
some of the pictures were brilliant. Like someone had put like their me looked like he was dead and had photoshopped him into JFK's assassination. And
oh
like
my
that.
God!
It was just insane. Literally anything you can think
that
of.
That is craziness.
And also, and one thing that struck me, especially for a Nintendo game, is because you can only communicate with like people that are on your friends list. So weirdly, for family-friendly Nintendo, it allows you to swear.
Really?
Yep. I've seen people screenshot it, and it doesn't star it out. It doesn't do anything.
That's all right, Nintendo. Open it up to new avenues of.
Because yeah, I think in the past, Nintendo has got a bit of a flack of because it tries to paint itself as a family-friendly company. Like when it comes to their like social networking side and like Miiverse, they have to limit stuff.
Yeah.
So it's yeah, but it's nice, and I think like I'm personally not very interested in it, and this is going to sound really sad because I don't really have like a network of, like I don't have a load of friends that I could say that would be on it as well. I could be like, hey, come join me.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really interest me.
I don't know what I would do with the Miitomo, but it's kind of cool. I really like the social aspect of gaming.
Yeah.
Back to gaming culture. I love gaming. I love gamers.
Yeah.
Like. So many people are so friendly. I want to be a part of the gaming community. I just don't have any interest in Nintendo games, really, so... I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shall we move on out of the serious, depressing, angry... Let's talk about something a bit nicer.
Yes.
Shall we talk about Star Wars?
Oh my gosh.
And the funny thing is, we've spoken about Star Wars before, but our audience won't know that because that episode never went out.
Truth. We do have a hidden episode, if you will.
Once we're very popular one day and we reach a big milestone, I've still got the recording for that,
we'll
so
release
I could release
it. Like a secret episode, like, this is how it all began.
Yeah, episode zero. Yep. And then you'll hate us and you'll instantly unsubscribe and set fire to your computer.
Oh, the quality is so terrible.
Yeah, anyways.
Rogue One. What is it?
The Rogue One trailer. Okay. It is. It's. I didn't know this, but apparently it's going to be the first of a trilogy of Star Wars.
Yes, it is.
That are essentially going to be a heist film about stealing the plans for the Death Star. So basically, Ocean's 11, but Star Wars.
The trailer. It gets me going. Like I'm so excited for Star Wars now. I don't know if you know this, but I have Darth Vader tattooed on my shoulder. Like and.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I have Darth Vader. Tattooed on my shoulder, and the wife has a stormtrooper tattooed on hers.
Aww.
Like, super huge Star Wars fans. I can't wait.
I assume you got those tattoos at the same time,
no.
Or was it just by chance
when
you met each other?
She got hers first, and then she has way more tattoos than me. Mine's going to be a bit more expensive, but that's why I'm waiting. But anyways, Star Wars fans here. I have Star Wars shoes. I have a Star Wars belt.
Yeah.
I have a life-size Star Wars stormtrooper cutout in my living room. Like... I own a stormtrooper helmet with the voice changer that makes you sound like a stormtrooper. Like,
I think you need to. I think you should take some pictures of the cutout and stuff, and we'll post them up on the
website. Okay, I'll share that with people with my helmet and everything. Maybe next episode, I'll put on the voice changer and sound like a stormtrooper.
Oh God!
Yeah,
I do the entire
Anyways,
episode as a stormtrooper.
So dude, that would be great. So I cannot wait.
Yeah.
For Rogue One, I've watched episode 7 and I have so much to talk about for that, and like here's one thing.
We'll do a Star Wars episode one day.
Yes. Talk about all the great Star Wars games there are.
Oh yeah, like the only good one in my opinion is Lego
like,
Star Wars.
Like Obi-Wan or
all right. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Some of the great Star Wars games out there. Anyways, I'm so excited for it. And you've seen the trailer, right?
I have. Funny enough, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh my god, this is amazing, it looks so cool. But then I watched it again, and I was a bit like, I know it's obviously a trailer, and trailers are designed to sort of show you the best bits, but it felt a bit Transformers-ish, in the sense of it was like, lots of explosions, but not much else.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously has, like, Transformer-style explosions, because, you know, like, whoever's directing it and stuff like that. But someone recently cut out some audio from that and posted the hangar alarm to Reddit and set it as their, like, here, use this as your alarm. And, like, just listen to this for a second. Let me tell you if you can, tell me if you can hear this. You know that sound?
Yes, I can hear
You know that sound? Yeah, just the feelings, the feels. I'm going to use that to wake up every morning now. Like, oh my god, what's happening? Star Wars.
You know, that would just panic you every time you think your house was on fire.
Right? I can't wait to use it in the morning. I wonder what kind of... I want to be in the Star Wars universe. I'm so excited for Rogue One.
Uniforce.
Okay, anyways.
You be in the Star Wars universe, I'll go be Doctor Who.
Doctor Who, of course.
Well, A, I'm sticking to my stereotypes, and B, I really like Doctor Who.
True.
We'll do a Doctor Who special one day.
Okay, all right.
I'll
ask you, just nod.
All right. It's all right. No, it takes about half an hour to explain the last couple of story arcs they've done anyway.
You're going to have to explain the whole thing, because I have no idea. I know there's time traveling, Time Lord is the guy, right?
Yes.
Anywho, I watched the one episode where, like, the bad... we can talk about that later. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, discussion-wise, news, things like that?
No, I don't think so. I'm sorry I kind of jumped in with Miitomo, but it just occurred to me because it was quite a big bit of gaming news.
Meh, we're not the most organized podcast anyway, so...
Yeah, if you come into this expecting professionalism and organization, probably not us, or at least not yet.
That's just not us.
Given that in the course of this recording, we've already had two power cuts.
Meh, so, dude. The struggle is real. Okay, let's move on. We have a community.
Do you want to do this? I feel like I've spoken
I will, but I just want to, like, we have a community, Nick.
Yeah, we do. We actually have a community. We have a Twitter account.
We have a community question.
We have a website.
From our community. Yes, I mean, I don't know if it really counts because it's one track. It's from the One Track Gamers cast and... They're the one.
Which is kind of like our sort of like sibling podcast.
Yeah, the older brother of this podcast.
Yep, as they said, particularly.
Yep. So anyways, this is from John from the One Track Gamers. He is the host. He says, hey fellas, too lazy to email, so have a direct message. Haha, take that.
Can I just stop you there for one second? I just want to say this is a message to John and anyone that's aware of me. I've sent about 60 plus emails into your podcast every week. I've been helping you from day one, and you couldn't even be bothered to send us a proper email. You sent us a Twitter DM.
What's that about, John?
Come on. Yeah, come on. I gave you fair warning. You tweeted me multiple times asking when we were recording so you could send a question in. I'm sorry, Karen.
I'll let you start that argument with him over Twitter. All right.
This is old man grumpy Nick, I'm sorry.
He says, "Well, I was going to send a special message, blah blah blah. I was going to send a special message, but I'll save that for a future episode." To help keep the editing down.
He means never.
To help keep the editing down as you're still getting the hang of things. You guys had a great first episode. Wish I had a Big Brother podcast to help us out when we first started. LOL, but I'm glad I can assist you guys with anything. I guess this question is more a bit about you guys. I'd like to know a bit more of your background and such. What is your favorite video games or series, and what is your favorite movies? Keep up the good work and game on. All right, Nick.
Just before we go into our answers, I just want to say, remember, if you want to send in a question, if you want to send in an actual question, you can email us at gwbpodcast@gmail.com. Or if it's a short little thing, remember you can tweet at us at GWBpod.
Truth.
Sorry, I have to do the obligatory marketing.
Yeah, come talk to us. We want to hear about you. We want to get involved with the community. Anyways, okay. So questions. What?
Talk to
besides Life is Strange, what's your favorite video game or series?
I'm quite a fan of Assassin's Creed, although I've never played the early ones, which to a lot of people are the best ones.
I think the Assassin's Creed games are, like, the first one to me it's a little bit of nostalgia, because when the first Assassin's Creed came out, it was one of those games that was innovative, Like, you can climb over everything and then do these crazy acrobatic stunts, and it was a really cool storyline and stuff like that. And they started making them year after year after year, and they're all good games. Some of them had a little rocky releases, but they're really cool. I know a lot of people that actually have the logo tattooed on them and stuff.
But yeah, it's always a bit weird when, like, I say to people, "Oh, my first Assassin's Creed was Black Flag," and they're like, "What? You never played Assassin's Creed 2? Don't you know who Ezio is?" And I'm like, "Well, I know who he is, but I've never played the game."
A lot of people love that one. I never played that one either. I played the third one.
Yeah, of course.
I love that one. It is my favorite.
And funnily enough, Assassin's Creed Syndicate is my favorite. I wonder why.
Yep.
Oh, right. Sorry, this is a callback to the unreleased episode, but we have to publicly state this to finish a long-running feud.
What?
Does Evie Fry look like Jennifer Lawrence, yes or no?
Oh, no, of course not. You there?
Yes, I'm there. I thought you had a third power.
Oh, no. No, of course not. She nothing alike. Oh.
Thank you. That was a direct...
Is that for Corey?
Anyone who doesn't listen to the One Track Gamers yet, that's for Corey. We have a long-running feud because he thinks Evie Fry, the female assassin from Assassin's Creed Syndicate, looks like Jennifer Lawrence when she really, really
doesn't.
Not
even a little bit, Corey.
Yeah, just get some new glasses or something. Just
So Assassin's Creed, huh? What about movies?
Ooh, I'm a big Bond fan, unsurprisingly. I'm also the biggest Marvel nerd in the world.
Oh, really?
You could ask me anything about the Marvel films and I could probably give you
an answer. I don't know enough about the Marvel films to ask any questions.
Oh, but they're so good, you barely have to concentrate. It's just explosions and shiny
and heroes
weapons and Scarlett Johansson.
I've been on a DC kick lately, watching like Arrow and stuff like that.
Oh,
so.
Get out. Oh. I tried to get into Gotham, the first series of that, but it was horrible. It was just so slow, nothing
happened.
Yeah,
a lot of people like it.
Brad, what are your favorite video games and films?
Okay, video games. Halo. Did you hear anything I said about Halo before I disappeared?
No.
Okay.
No.
I have a real soft spot for Halo, because it was really the first...
Yeah.
When I started actually... feeling the gaming community, because I had a bunch of friends that played Halo, and we would have Halo parties and all that stuff, and it was such a good game for me to bond with other people and like play Halo and stuff like that. And then Halo 2 came out, and I played that online, and this was all while I was in like grade school and high school and stuff, so it was like growing up with Halo. And then Halo 3 I played ridiculously. I was playing Halo 3 like 40 minutes before my wedding, sitting on the couch in my dress up, you know, and playing Halo, waiting for the wedding to start. Like, that's...
Oh my God.
So Halo has a soft spot, all the games for me. I kind of shun Halo 4, but I accept that it's part of the series. So...
Okay.
Yeah, Halo 5 is great. All the Halo games. Thanks, Bungie, for making such a great IP, and 343 for carrying the torch and all that. And then movies, I bet you can't guess what my favorite movies are.
Star Wars?
Wrong! Just kidding, yeah, of course. I love all the Star Wars. I remember, when I was a kid, instead of watching, like, Disney movies and stuff like that, my mom would put on Star Wars. Like,
okay.
I grew up watching episodes 4, 5, and 6 on VHS on a regular basis.
Whereas I was the other way a bit. I ended up seeing the prequels first. Then saw the originals.
Oh man, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, we're not going to get into Anakin Skywalker territory because I refuse to do my impression.
It's so sandy, it gets everywhere. Anyways.
You were supposed to be the chosen one!
I love that fight scene. I get chills when I watch Obi-Wan and Anakin, like, it's father-son just duking it out.
Yeah, but no offense to Hayden Christensen, but his acting is I don't know.
I felt the anger. I felt him become Darth Vader when I watched that. The end scene, he's like on fire. Oh yeah, I love it.
Yes, with like no legs and one arm. Yeah.
I love it.
A bad day.
Besides that, really love the Aliens movies. Like that whole universe.
Good.
The whole thing with
As in, the Ridley Scott film.
Yes. As in...
Wait, So you're saying you like Alien 3 and Alien 4, even though they're terrible?
Yes, freaking love them. All of them.
Oh, for God's sake.
I love the Alien vs. Predator video game. I loved the Alien vs. Predator, like, strategy game. All of it. It's great. I've read a bunch of the books.
I tried to watch Alien vs. Predator Requiem a few years ago, and it's so dark.
Yeah.
You can't see anything.
The whole
anything.
Thing is, that's a pretty terrible movie, but I still love the universe. Except...
Have you seen Prometheus?
Yes.
Have you seen Prometheus?
Yeah, it was really strange.
Yes.
But, except, like... I accept that it exists, just like Halo 4. The second Predator movie is a thing. Don't particularly care for it, but the first Predator... I think I've seen the first Predator 4 times in the past month, because we play it in the office at work during lunchtime.
Okay. Get to the chopper!
Get to the chopper! And he's like, I'm right here! Come and get me! So good.
Put the cookie down!
So good. Anyways, that's all I got. Hope that satisfies you, John. If you need to know anything more, write us an email.
Write us a proper email.
Perhaps, you know? Maybe I'll just DM you everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there, take that.
Don't start a war you can't win.
Okay.
We're gonna co-opt your entire audience.
Everybody, send them direct messages instead of emails.
Yeah. One day we're just gonna steal one of the presenters as well.
Oh, we should. Let's get Amanda on the show.
I was gonna say we can't steal Corey because of our fundamental.
No, let's get Amanda.
Assassin's Creed and BioShock. Yeah, if we get Amanda, everyone seems to like Amanda. So
yeah, she always wins all their competitions. So.
Yeah, it's so. I think that's just become a running joke now. That
she didn't even. She didn't even participate in one of them, and she still about won it.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we should stop advertising for other podcasts.
Yeah, come.
We should probably finish up because. What?
I said, listen to our show as well.
Yeah, exactly. Just pretend we're the only podcast going. I think that's everything because we've been running a little long. That does include holes of power cuts and things.
If anybody sticks it out for the whole show, I love you. Thanks for listening to us.
Have a high five.
It's just internet high five all the way to wherever you're at. So, social media and all that stuff. You want to talk about it?
Yep, can do. We've mentioned this a few times, but I will just go over it all again. Our email address is gwbpodcast@gmail.com. So if you want to send us an email, send us a question, maybe even send us a topic you'd like to hear us discuss, or ideas for features or games we could do, then please send us anything. If you've got a little thing you want to say, a bit of feedback, or you want to keep up for whenever we've got a new episode out, you can follow the podcast account at GWBPod on Twitter. Also, our new and actually functioning website is gwbpodcast.podbean.com, and you can also get the Podbean app on both Android and iPhone as well, so you can get them on your phones. And if you don't actually like Podbean, I have checked, and our podcast feed will work on other podcast apps. I just want to give you a little bit of update regarding iTunes, because obviously I know that's where a lot of people get their podcasts. We are planning to get onto iTunes. We just want to make sure we have a couple episodes under our belt, because when you join iTunes, you get a window of where you're much more noticeable, so we want to make sure we have as much stuff out there as possible. If people want to talk to you on Twitter, Brad, where can they find you?
They can find me at MajesticSteed55 on Twitter. You can also go there to find out all the other stuff I'm doing, game development, game design, general thoughts on life. Let's see, what are my other stuff? Hit me up on Steam as Antiviral. I'm pretty sure that's in the show notes as well. Let's play some games. You can hit me up on Xbox. All that good stuff. Please send us an email, gwppod@gmail.com. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Did I forget anything?
Okay. No. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can find me at another GMG blog. Also, if you want to read my blog, I don't sadly post as much as I want to post, but that's because life gets in the way a bit. You can find that at nickpjenkins25.wordpress.com. I would also recommend my lovely and spoilerific article about Life is Strange, which if Brad pulls his finger out and plays the damn game, he should probably read.
All right. Once I play the game, I'll check it out. Anyways.
Yeah, stop playing Factorio. Play that.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We appreciate you. Yep. Hope you come back for more. Let us know your gripes, complaints, what you love, what you don't. And yep. Do we have an outro?
Yep. No, we don't, not really. I just want to say... we don't know entirely, sort of, we don't have a timetable quite yet for what sort of time we're going to release, so just keep an eye on our Twitter, like, we'll give you a bit of warning, like, we'll be releasing an episode tomorrow or something, so, like, so yeah, just if you keep an eye on our Twitter and follow us on Twitter, you'll be able to keep up. It's just, editing is a new thing for us, so, yeah, it's going to take a bit of time to get into a rhythm, especially with this episode, which is going to be a lot of fun for me to try and edit.
And like I said before, we kind of mentioned to it, I'm sorry, I just like keep going on and on, this is the longest outro ever. If anybody out there has anything they want to talk about, I am more than willing to share my experiences with you. I know I may sound young, but I like to think that I have some worldly experience. I can help anybody out with any problems they have. Also, anybody that might have been upset or offended at any of our comments about like Gamergate and all that stuff, listen, we're all gamers, I love all of you. I just want us all to get along and yeah. like just help everybody grow as a community and keep pushing the boundaries of gaming.
But yeah, if you have problems with what we said, like we're happy to talk it through, but like we'd prefer if you do that privately. We'd rather not have a big public argument with you, but we're happy to talk it through if that's what you want to do.
Yep. So,
anyway,
no passport needed.
Yeah. So are you? Are you planning a podcast holiday? Well, you should go on this one because you don't need a podcast. Don't need a passport. Shut up. That was good. That is all from us for this week. We will see you next episode.
All right,
bye-bye.
See ya.